you from the spirit realm, then we have knowledge of who that guy is. But when you're not born again, you have no discernment. You have no discernment. It's just all together. We did what we wanted to do. There was no, oh yeah, there was a little something in there that said, hey, you don't need to do that. Right? But you know what? We did it anyway. Why did we do it anyway when we don't do it now? The soul's been changed. The soul has been cleaned up. The soul is God. Doesn't make a mistake. Never did a wrong. I was thinking back in that Genesis 1:26. Of course, you know that's my favorite scripture. I love to preach on it. That thing that was made there in the beginning was the theophany of God. It was the soul of God, which is now inside of you by the new birth. Never did have a beginning. Never did have an end. That's why Brother Brown said the new birth is the most important thing that you could ever have. Is to realize your soul is now God with no memory of your past. There's your sea of God's forgetfulness. Now we remember in our spirit realm. It just works. I don't know about you. Works on me all the time. But down inside, that guy's not remembering the bad things you did. It can't if it's God. Can it? There's no way it can. There's no way it has a bad memory. There's no way it had a bad thought. There's no way it imagined stuff. Oh, come on, somebody. See what I'm talking about. See what you got when you got the new birth. You got God, the perfect part. That's why he said, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. That's where you came from. Everybody with me? So the soul, that's your key. Faith or doubt. All right? But now, when you die, and you go across the curtain of time, all right, let's say you're not born again. Your soul is still there. Not in the sixth dimension. Your soul is still here, there, here, here. You have the memory, reason, conscience, affection, and imagination. You take what you remember there. Because you're a sinner. You've not been cleaned. You've not been wiped out. That's why Brother Brown said a sinner is resurrected in the body they sinned in. And will have to give an account of what they did. But you and I only got to give an account of what he did. That's all I got to give account of, Brother Danny, is what he did. I put everything I got on what he did. He took my sin. He took my shame. And he's inside of you tonight. So that's what goes to the sixth dimension. And then in that sixth dimension, you don't have past memory. You have all the memory. Remember, Brother Brown comes across the curtain of time. His body's still there, so he's still got a connection. He's not dead. He's just moved over into a faster dimension in his soul. With me? Their memory says, if you had not come, we would not have been here. Now, where'd that come from? That come from what they took over there. Their soul and their spirit went over here in a faster dimension. And it not only enhanced what you, it just made you God all over. Perfect love is God's love. Perfect love is perfect memory, perfect conscience, perfect affection. Oh, listen, what you got tonight, if it's a piece of God, it's all of God. But we're not complete. Those people have got to come back and get their body because you're a unit. And that unit is not... Why didn't those people in the curtain of time say, well, we're fine here, Brother Brown. We don't want to go back. Remember, he said he didn't want to go back. Right. He said, well, I got to go get back in that. They said, yeah, you got to go back. Said, but we'll be judged with you. We've got to come back to earth with you to get our what? To get our mortal bodies. Because we're human beings. We're not fully human here. Right? We're theophany. We're eternal, but why wouldn't they want to stay? If you ever got me in an eternal state, why would you want to go back there? What, really? Why would you want to go back? But see, their revelation showed them that when they got back over there, according to the prophet's message, when they got back into their body, it became glorified. Then you don't have to worry about the sin curse anymore. You don't have to worry about, my Lord, I'll be 63 tomorrow. Yeah, I know. I'm not going to go there. Everybody wish me happy birthday today. I know what y'all doing. It's in case you forget tomorrow. I have a way of reminding you. But I've got these little spots that come up. I wasn't there 3 or 4 years ago. All you older ones are laughing. Younger ones are going, what are they talking about? I got hair where I don't need it. I don't have it where I need it. That's because of the sin curse. But that's all going to be, Brother Brown, you're bald-headed. He said, I ain't lost one of them. That theophany had not lost one of them. That 18-year-old kid never lost a hair. You love the Lord. I mean, he give us a revelation of who we are and what we're doing here and what piece and part of us, by knowledge, that's why I'm coming to this knowledge part, by knowledge we understand and we can divide, rightly divide the word of truth. Know that Satan is talking to us only in our spirit realm. That God is talking us to us though through our center realm, which is the soul. Chief, which one wins? One I feed the most. Feed the outside man, you'll get what the outside man is. You feed that inside man, and if it's born again, if it's by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that's God talking. Then Brother Bram saying, now deity resides in man. Deity resided in Jesus Christ at one time. But now deity resides in the bride of Jesus Christ. That's what the world is not going to ever see. And if they thought he was a devil, they're going to think you one too. Because you're not normal. You do things different. What? You think different. Your control tower is different. I think Paul says, talk about yielding your members. Well, that's not these. It's not yielding these. It's yielding those memory, reason, conscious, affection, those members you're going to put toward what? God's affection. Not the affection of this world. Listen, this world will love you to hell. Come on, somebody. This world will love you to hell. I ain't never used one of these before. But it will. Like what brother said the other day. Look how close Judas was to the gates of heaven. He kissed it. He literally kissed the gates of heaven. That's how close he was to heaven. He hugged the Lord Jesus and said, Jesus said, friend? In other words, friend, what are you doing? And he kissed him. That's how close he was to the gates of heaven. And he wound up in hell. Same way with me and you. How close? I don't want to know how close I can get to the gates of hell. I want somebody to say, enter in to the joy of the Lord. Made for you when? Before the foundation of the world. Before you messed up in your humanity. Before you made a mistake in your human being, in your human body. Before all that. And then right here, I will restore to you the years that all that was beat down. Fellowship. Revelation. Faith. That was eat down, folks. That was prevalent in the first church age. It was okay in the second church age. Then he really started eating, Brother Brown said, like at Nicaea. He eat it down to a stump. But he said, I will restore. You and I are in that part of that. It's not restoring. We're not shuck. This age is not shuck. This age is wheat. Seed. What went in the ground, sure, all that had to come back up. Life had to come through it. But remember, when you harvest that corn, that stalk dies. There's no life in it. There's no way it can... There's no way it can reproduce itself. Why? Because it just went to seed. But praise God, it's seed put in the ground. It'll grow something else. I will restore to you the years of locust eat, canker worm, caterpillar, pommel worm. My great army I send among you. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied. And praise the name of the Lord your God. I hope we get to it. We're going to talk a little bit about teaching and what teaching does for us. If we get to it, if we don't, we'll do it a couple weeks. And praise the name of the Lord that hath dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be ashamed. You should never be ashamed to be a Christian. If you're ashamed to be a Christian, you ain't one. Well, I might what? You might let your light shine and let somebody see it. Because this world is like really dark if y'all have not noticed that. Look at all that happened in California. A 6-year-old kid gets the gun off of daddy's. He should have been, well, I don't say he shouldn't have been shot. But the daddy should have never left that there. But that 6-year-old kid, he watches movies. He watches video games. Oh, I'm just going to go to my teacher. And well, she did. Or he did. Whichever one. I can't remember whether it was a guy, a little boy, I guess. 6 years old. Six. What were you doing at six? I couldn't hardly walk. And they're picking up guns now? And the parents are letting them? It's all parental delinquency, folks. Once you see what's going on, it is the parents' fault. When they took out prayer and they took out the Bible and they took out punishment in the schools, look what happened. A bunch of intellectual idiots. When it comes to here, when it comes even to the world, just to live. Listen, you didn't hear none of that when we were growing up. The worst you had was maybe two girls got mad at each other for dating the same boy and they whacked each other around and pulled each other's hair and then they was done. Worst fight I ever seen was two women, two girls. Bible says something about a woman scorned. So anyway, praise the Lord. Anyway, whom shall he teach knowledge and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Who? Us, them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. No. Where your soul is. I don't mean is. Is with God. Where your spirit is with God. Because if your soul is born again one more time, you're just as eternal as God is. You've just got a human being attached to it. And we have to because we fail. Because of Eve. What happened between Eve and the beast. That's where we came from. But you know what? You can't blame it on Eve now. You have the tree of knowledge and the tree of life in front of you tonight. You're going to eat one or you're going to eat the other, one of the two. And Bible said, we'll read it in just a minute, God told them if you eat of that tree, you're going to die. If you eat of this tree, that's why it's called a tree of life. And we're heading toward adoption. I hope you'll see that. That we're not, it's not an adoption like you adopt a kid. We talked about it last week about how you, it, say a girl can't have, or a sister can't have a kid, and she goes and adopts a kid from a foster home. That's not what this is talking about. This in the Bible is talking about taking your own son, and seeing how he grows and how he listens to the tutor or the teacher and how good that he obeys his teacher and obeys his parents, then God will adopt you into the family of God, not adopt you into the family like you never was. He's going to give you more power. That's what Brother Branham, really the whole message sums up in one thing. He come to open the book to give us power. That we lost in the church ages because of that bug eating everything down. We lost it because it shut the door. We couldn't get to what? We couldn't get to the door. I am the door, he said to the sheepfold. All right, let's look at this real quick. Knowledge. Add to virtue, knowledge. Gnosis, which is science, knowledge. I want to read this one right here. We've been reading it before. But such as belongs to the more advanced. You say, well, I don't know anything. An excuse. Listen, God does not mind that you didn't go through the 7th grade, 6th grade, 10th grade. Brother Brown was 7th grade. But he was an intellectual Einstein as far as the scripture. He was an intellectual Einstein. He was a supernatural Einstein that could look into the mind of God where Einstein with his own human brain that I would assume, I'm not trying to put him to hell, but if he didn't get born again, that's where he's ended up. He could be the smartest man in the world, give us all kind of technology. If not born again, doesn't matter about all that. But such as belong to the more advanced, especially of things lawful and unlawful for Christians. Moral wisdom such as seen in right living. In Genesis 2:9, we talked about this again. Out of the ground made the Lord to grow every tree. The tree of life. Where? In the midst of the garden. The Bible says in the midst of the paradises of God. In the midst. In the middle. In that soul. That's the most important part. Listen, you can go back crazy in your spirit and still be born again in your soul. Completely crazy. And be born again in your soul. You can let a demon get on you. And you can do things that you really didn't want to do. Come on, somebody. Look at that preacher. Brother Brown said he was a believer. He was a preacher of the gospel for his time. He said, I ain't preaching no more. He got a spirit on him. And that spirit drove him to drinking. Well, God just went ahead and just took him on home. His life got real short at that point in time because he couldn't get that thing off of him. We need to get that off of us. Not that drinking spirit, but any spirit we got attached to us, it's in that spirit realm. And it's trying to affect your soul. It can't move your soul. It can't take your soul away from you. But it can affect it. That's what these virtues do. Because remember, Satan would come to Jesus. It is written. He had knowledge to tell him the right thing at the right time. Look at the Pharisees. They give him all these questions. And he said, let me ask you one. Did David say when he said the Lord said unto my Lord, is he talking to this Lord or that Lord? What the Bible tell you? They never ask him another question after that. Why? It confounded them by the knowledge of God that was in that man. That same knowledge can be in you. That's why we can confound a scholar. That's why we can confound the people of this world that thinks that we're so bound and we're so do's and don'ts and we got to do this and we got to, no. They just don't understand they're the most bound people. We are free in liberty in Jesus Christ, and they are so bound by the devil till they don't realize it. Now, lest he put forth his hand, now the Lord drove them out of the garden, because if he had left them in the garden, they'd have become one of us, knowing all tree of life and eat and live forever. So they had to drive him out. And where'd they drive it to? They drove us out of the Garden of Eden so we could be born of a man. But then what happened when Jesus came? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, to go back to the Garden of Eden. Right? Brother Bram said the threefold purpose of God was what? All God was, he poured into Christ. Christ into the church. And do what? Take her back to the Garden of Eden. Because in Revelations 20 or 21 or 22, we see this tree of life pop back up in the new city. And it is a tree then. That we take the leaves off the nations and they go outside and do all the things. But that tree of life is me and you. Amen. And the world is eating off of that. How do you think people, listen, the seed life comes through the body. Even Ananias, even Paul, the great prophet, had to go to Ananias and Ananias pray for him to get the Holy Ghost. Why didn't he just say, oh, that thing just came alive inside of me, and I'm good to go. No, God said, you're not going to see for about 3 days. I'm going to blind you naturally. You're going to need some help, Saul, because you didn't think you needed any help before that. Sent him to a place and sent Ananias to pray for him to get the Holy Ghost, and the scales came off of his eyes. A prophet of God? Yeah, a prophet of God. Our prophet at one time was lost. We good? Yeah. Oh, I want to read you something I got in a text to me today. Let me read you this quote. Let me tell you how much knowledge people have. Direct quote from headquarters. The bride is making herself ready by pressing play. Direct quote. The bride is making herself ready by pressing play. My knowledge doesn't go with that. That don't ring a bell. I can't shout about that. That actually makes me really, really sad, is how many people are falling for that. You might get born again under that, but you'll not stay born again under that. I'll promise you that. You won't grow. I'll promise you that. Because without a fivefold ministry, you can't grow. That's why the Bible, when you take knowledge and teaching, they go together. All right. Without teaching, there's no knowledge. And you have no knowledge if you don't, if you're not taught. Everybody with me? All right. I can get it on my own. Please try. That's why we're a congregation. We're sheep. We need shepherd. We need somebody to run the thing. We're just that way. I'm sorry. That's what God said. And the Lord God, look, commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you'll eat freely, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day you eat thereof, the day thou surely shall die. Man made gunpowder so we can deer hunt with. It also kills about 25,000 or a million people all over the world every year. Cars are the biggest killer in the United States there is. And we made them. Not counting cigarettes and beer and all that other stuff that kills us. Everybody with me? All right. Knowledge. By knowledge, by man's knowledge, we die. But we eat off that tree of life and just say, God, you said you'd feed me. You said you'd do this for me. You say, oh, that's kind of bold. No, that's not bold enough. He said, come boldly to the throne of grace. Ask what you will. Brother Brown said, ask for big things. Well, I don't know about that. That's one thing that gets under my skin is somebody tries to be humble that's not. But y'all got to listen to me today. Press play. Under the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith who holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works. And labor in thy patience. Look how the Holy Spirit is going through the church. In the first church age, Ephesus. He's going through the church and he's discerning what they're seeing and what they're not seeing. They know what's happening now. He's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not and hast found them liars. And hast borne and hast patience for my name's sake, hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, here we go to the human part. Here we go to the spirit realm. We know they were born again in the first church age. Amen? There was a born again, powerful group of people, but they fell from their first love. They fell away from the love that they had in the beginning. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art falling, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come quickly and remove your candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans. Hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans. God hates? Yes, he just said he did. God hates those deeds. He hates for the laity to be conquered by one head person. I'm reading the Bible. You can argue with it if you want to. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. Now listen, that's not your natural ear. That's not that. Well, there's an ear up here somewhere. I thought there was. Seed field up here, I think. Yeah, right there. That's not that ear right there. Thank you, Brother Joe. That's not that ear right there. You can sit here and listen to the message for 50 years and die and go to hell. But if you'll ever hear what the Spirit says to you, you'll not die. You'll go to heaven. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the church. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. And here we go with teaching. Whom shall he teach knowledge? That's what we were saying a minute ago. And whom shall he make understand doctrine? them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. I know that, I know for a fact from the 20-something years I've been back at serving the Lord, that you see people that just struggle over the little stuff. Amen. The little stuff. But the Bible said it's the little foxes. Listen, just like I stumbled just now, it was that little leg I wasn't looking at that stumbled me. If it had been a big brick there, I'd have probably seen it. I said probably. But you see what I mean? That's why I stumbled over, because I didn't see it. How many times have you been walking in the yard and you stumbled over a rock and it didn't stick up but about that high? Yeah. Thank you, brother. All the time. You need to be careful. Lord have mercy, brother. Get you a cane or something. But that's what you stumble over. You stumble over the lip. If you see a great big rock there, you just walk around it. That's what we're looking at now. Everybody's got to start small, though. Everybody's got to get those little things out of the way. All of us do. We need to be wise in God, not wise in the world. Knowledge, the fact or condition of knowing something with familiarity. Is this message familiar to you? But now I ask you another question. Can you live it? It can be familiar. I've seen a lot of people know the message, read the message, and they walk out that door and their hair is just straight across. And your hair don't usually grow that way. No. Ain't happening. So don't fool me and don't fool God. All right? Don't take discernment to see stuff like that. But we're familiar, look, with something with familiarity gained what? Through experience. Our association. I come to this church because I believe it's preaching the truth. Not just me, everybody. All the ministry we have here is preaching the truth. Amen? That's why I come here. And that tells me I'm going to associate with this group of people. I'm not going to associate with that group. Now, I'm going to go out there. I got to go in the world and let your light shine. But I'm not going to say, well, now, what did Brother Brown say one time? He said, don't you let some little Ricky tell you, you go to my church one Sunday and I'll go to your church the next Sunday. I'm quoting Brother Branham. He said, don't you do that. You're on the devil's ground. Now, how many, I've heard people in the message, well, I think I'll just go over here for a little while and let my light shine. Yeah, buddy. You didn't see them no more either. Must have either got put out or something happened. But I can walk, I feel, if you're a mature Christian, you can walk into a Baptist church and sit there when they're having a meeting. Get something out of it, but let your light shine and not get caught up in it. Now, I ask you a question, though. Can you go to another message church and discern what they're preaching and be able to sit there and fellowship with them? That's a question I ask you. The circumstance or condition of what? Apprehending truth. Go get truth. Apprehending truth. Or fact through reasoning. Come let us reason together. John 8:31 says, Then said Jesus to those Jews, which we already read this, but I'm gonna give you the no part. If you continue my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth. Not know of it. Listen. Zillions of people's read this Bible, but there's only going to be a small group of people that really knows what it says. Yeah, amen? All right? And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now listen, if we know the truth and it's in the Bible, what's written in the Bible, if we know that's truth and we do it, then it promised us to set us free. Not bind us. Set us free. And that word know means to perceive or understand, get a knowledge of, feel, understand, perceive, have knowledge of, to understand. It's a Jewish idiom for sexual intercourse between a man and a woman. A woman knows a man. I know no man, she said. Jesus said, depart from me, I never knew you. That word K-N-E-W is exactly right there. I never had a personal relationship. Now, Jesus Christ does not have nothing to do with sex acts. So for those that are new, I want you to understand one thing. That is an example that the Lord does make love to us. Through agape love, not filial love. Amen? And it's not in the womb anywhere else but in your mind. The womb of our mind is where we have our relationship with Jesus Christ. With the control tower is where we have that relationship. To become acquainted with, to know. To the Greeks, it's meant to know facts. But these facts may or may not affect one's conduct. Now, this one will. The one I know. The person I know. It will impact my conduct. Or affect my conduct. To the Jew, true knowledge always manifested itself in one's conduct. One did not know something until that fact had a practical outworking in his life. Proverbs 3 verse 13 says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain, therefore, than fine gold. Wow. Now see, that's totally opposite. We're humans. If it says silver and gold, we'd want it. Just go ahead and I'm going to just say it for you. Yeah. The Bible says to try for wisdom and understanding, and it will be greater or better than having silver and gold in your hand. Because you know what? With wisdom and understanding of God, you can't go to hell. Right. But with a handful of silver and a handful of gold, you can. Right. And you will. Remember the rich young ruler? He said, I lived all 10 commandments, Lord. And in another place, I built barns because I didn't have enough barns. And I put stuff over here and I put stuff over here. Where'd he end up? In hell. She is more precious. Now you see what the writer is telling us in Proverbs. We know it's Solomon. He takes that wisdom and understanding and makes it into a she. Now, who is she? She is him. She's the bride. She is more precious. The bride is more precious than rubies. And all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared to this bride. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life. What a promise. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. Philippians 1:9. You know, I read that scripture and I think, you remember when the ark was stolen and the Philistines took it and put it over in their tabernacle or whatever you want to call it, Dagon or whatever it was? They put the thing there and the next day they come back and Dagon was, you know, knocked down on the ground and they pick that great big statue up and they say, well, maybe somebody knocked it over or maybe a mule come through here or a bull and they push it up. Well, after about the third time, they, you know what they do? What they say? Get this thing out of here. Get this thing out of here. And that's what people, you'll do to people. Right? Remember my little thing that Brother Dick gave me? My spirit irritates your demons? Only Brother Dick could come up with that. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in what? All judgment. And then we come to Corinthians. We talked about it Sunday, where the saints will judge the world. And then the saints will judge angels. How much more are things that pertain to this life? We shouldn't have to go outside these walls to settle a legal dispute between two brothers or two sisters or whatever we, you know. It should be done right here. We should be able to judge that. If then you have judgment of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. He's even telling Paul, saying, look, don't let the guy that you know, don't let the deacon do it. Take it to the guy that don't know much. Just start it and let him do it. That's what he says right here. Set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. Wow. That's putting God on display is what it's doing. God's proven who he is. If you got a born-again Christian, he's proven who he is. Brother Bram said knowledge. Now, that don't mean worldly knowledge because that's foolishness to God, but knowledge to judge. Everything has to do with judging. All right? But when you can see the scripture is not contradictory, that you can say that and can see by the revelation of God, the whole word is wrote in mysteries. And only the knowledge of God can reveal it. That's why the Bible says you can't understand who Jesus Christ is without the Holy Ghost. Because that's that guy in your control tower that's going to what? He's going to bring you back to that center, to that tie post. Because listen, we fail every day. We backslide. We go out. What did Brother Brown say? The only way Satan can get to you is what? You go out to his ground. You stay hid behind the Word of God, he can't get to you. Let's try that sometime. Because, I mean, really, we've come to a place. I was thinking about this the other day. We've come to a place that, and we do have a lot of knowledge, and we do have a lot of, and it has to be head knowledge first. All right? It's got to come head knowledge first. All right? You got to run it through the filter. You got to run it through the gray matter. You got to run it through all them firing mechanisms and all that stuff that's going off, you know, and stuff putting over here and moving over here. You got to remember what God said in the Word of God. You got to be able to see it. But to discern, we'll talk about it in just a minute, to discern, a Christian is just born again, not more than, you know, a month or two. They start discerning from the spirit and the soul. Because what happens is, you've got it all together. Then what happens is, the Word is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It starts pulling it apart. And where you never in your life thought things so different, you're at awe when God gives you a revelation. How many of you were Trinitarians before you came to the message? Okay. You was almost. Well, Sister Anna was, so. Sorry. You're not now. I said was. Was is a good word. She was. But you had that ingrained in your spirit realm. And if you weren't born again at the time, your soul was happy with that. I was happy to sit in a Baptist church. I was happy to sit in a Presbyterian church. I was happy to sit in my own church. Most of the time, that's where I was, the church of Wade Dale. Well, praise God. I'm just the only one that's been a sinner in my life, I guess. But the knowledge of God reveals and starts pulling that thing apart. And don't you remember the day when you first saw water baptism? When you first saw there was no eternal hell. When you first saw there was one God, not three. When you saw that. Now, what did you have in your mind before? In your human mind, in the spirit realm, you had this three gods. Right? But when God revealed it to you, it took that part of your memory. Listen, you can still remember why you were in the Baptist church. And I still remember the things I did and all the in the world and all that. But it's beginning to dull. It's beginning to dull away. Time is beginning to move. I think by the word of the Lord, too. It's starting to wash us because we're supposed to be washed by the water of the Word. We're supposed to have the mind of Christ, and we're supposed to be, yeah, we can't help the thoughts come, but we can what? Not let it nest. Well, we used to let it nest. We used to let it build a condominium. Everybody with me? It built a condominium, had flowers and trees and all that stuff. Yeah, that's how them thoughts were. But now they come as a breeze and they blow away. You see, a sinner can't see that. A sinner cannot. You couldn't fathom that when somebody, when Tom Barbush, bless his heart, he'd say, boy, Jenny, you know who he is. He said, boy, we waiting on you. I ain't going if you're not going. And I can't go till you go. He said, so hurry up. Well, you know what? That didn't to me. That just went. After a while, I mean, the impact of his great big hand doing that, pointing that finger about that big around at you. That was an impact. But after a while, though, Jenny, it was like, you know, weeks or so later, I just went right back. It didn't bother me. And you know, it just. But he did that one time when I was born again. Had a different impact. My firing mechanism had changed a little bit. My spiritual eye had been opened. My spiritual ear had been opened to know that that was God been speaking to me the whole time through that man. The whole time. Speaking to me through that person. But it took what? The eyes of our understanding have been what? Enlightened. so that we can understand these things. Now, Brother Brown said, look, then when you get and say and punctuate every word of God with an amen, then add that to your faith. Then here's a prayer. I love this prayer. Build me up, O Lord, into this. Let Christ be my head that works through me. On my foundation, my faith is in him. Let virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness work in me, O Lord, is my prayer. I don't care, live or die. How many of you can say that? Live or die, sink or swim. I'm going to make a rapture. Amen. I don't care. You're not going to stop me. There ain't nobody going to stop me but me. So then, if nobody can stop me but me, where's the devil in that picture? For God has sent in the church apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, and evangelists to press play. All for the, Lord, all for the perfecting and bringing all this. Now that was quoted by their higher up. That was quoted by their number one guy. Okay. So we'll just leave them alone. But I'm going to tell you something. That's of the devil. You can't do that and stay in the Word of God. You can't. You just pray for them and just you leave them people alone. All right? Each one of these stones are material off of that one. This is material off of this. Each one of these virtues belong into him and they're pouring out of him. Where? Into you. Down through them. 70 weeks of Daniel. I love this. And I've been honing in on this spirit of wisdom. Because it takes the spirit of wisdom to do all kind of things. It takes the spirit of wisdom to get a sermon that y'all want. It's not the one I want. It's the one y'all want. You operate the gift. You make the gift work. I don't. You do. So the spirit of wisdom comes. Look, it didn't say it comes into the preacher. It says it comes into the church. To make known to the church or the bride by the revelation of the Holy Ghost. Bringing the church in and revealing what day we're living in. Just the same as Gabriel came to Daniel, the Holy Spirit comes to the what? Comes to the church in the last days to reveal these great, deep, secret things. Praise God. Amen. We can understand them if you want to. Because when we say deep, people just go, don't do that. Don't do that. When we say deep, God told us through a prophet and in the Bible, it even tells us that we can know even the deep things of God. Because the deep things of God is so shallow if you're a Christian. If you'll get taught, if you'll learn, if you'll sit and do what God said to do. Remember, to get these virtues is one thing. That's doing what God said to do, being obedient to what God said to do. All right. There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, talking about Jesus Christ. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel. That's why that spirit's come back into the church to get us out of here. You know what spirit of wisdom we have now? We have the spirit of wisdom of the Son of Man. We don't have partial truth. We have full truth. We don't have to worry about being right or wrong. I hope y'all know that. If you're sitting here today worried whether this is the right message or the wrong message, go find you a tree somewhere and get under it and stay there until God brings you a revelation. Because there's nothing like this message of the hour. Nothing. It'll light you up. It'll turn your refrigerator into a stove. Some of y'all still got icicles. That the God of our Lord Jesus, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. What? In the knowledge of him. Not the knowledge of the world, in the knowledge of him. The eyes of, look, there, here it is. The eyes of your understanding, yours, being enlightened. That you may know, what is that word? Know. That you may have an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. What is the hope of his calling? What the riches of the glory of his inheritance? In the saints, I'm not going to get finished, so I'm going to skip through. Just close your eyes, because some of these people make you sick when I start scrolling. There's nothing of such prevailing power as a revelation of the Word of God. Listen, we want power in this church. Get a revelation of the Word of God. Get a revelation of where you at. Get a revelation of why you're doing here. Why are you here? Why are we here? Why are in the things we're doing? Why are you doing this? Why are we doing that? There's nothing of such, what is prevailing power? Now you can have power, but what is prevailing power? See, you can have a lightning bolt, and that's power. But prevailing power is, this is prevailing power. As long as you keep them up, that power will prevail over everything else and stay on. So listen, let's get our switch flipped. Right? That's all it is. The power's already, listen, the power's running through them lines right now. It's just not got the right connection yet. And you know where it's at? It's not back there. It's right here. Right here. This is where it's at. Watch. Oh, look at there. That's why God wants to make it so simple when we make it so hard. So simple as flipping a light switch. Power's already there. Revelation of Jesus Christ. Listen, but the prevailing, overcoming church is built on revelation, so we can expect God. Look, we can expect God to reveal his truth to us. That's a prophet telling us that he expects God to do this. Right. And so do we, because it's the word of God. Any promise in the word of God is ours. So we can expect God to reveal his truth to us. However, you actually don't need a revelation on water baptism. It's right there staring you in the face. I bet you, let me see when that was. That was in, when did he preach those? 60 or 61, because I don't have it. I got to cut it off. It was the Revelation of Jesus Christ, the little bitty books. There was a lot of Trinitarians sitting in that congregation at that time. A lot. And he just burnt their hide right in front of them. He said, this is right here staring you in the face. No man knows the things of God save the Spirit of God, and he to whom the Spirit of God reveals them. Brother Brown said, we need to call on God for revelation more than anything else in the world. Or Brother Wade, I need this, I need this. Pray for revelation. If you have a problem, pray for revelation. If you have an issue, pray for revelation. More than anything else in the world, you have accepted the Bible. We have accepted the great truths of it. We got all the truths down. But it still is not real to most people, because the revelation by the Spirit is not there. It's words on a page. We're message believers. Well, what message do you believe? Well, I don't believe Brother Ram was right over here, but he was right over here. I don't believe this is right over here. I don't believe Brother So-and-so is right, and this is not right, and that's not. Boy. It's like Paul Harvey said one time, I was talking about brother about this message being a cult. He said, no, he said, the message is not a cult. A cult, they follow their leader. Yeah. Just saying. Look what God's give us in the end time, and what Satan's doing. He's going right to the top. He's going to tear it down, make us doubt whether the 12 people fell off the bridge. I don't care. Yeah, but he was supposed to be in it. I don't care. He has brought me a clarity to the Word of God more than any other man, James Dobson, all them people included. And that's what I'll put my soul on that. Because that man can make a mistake, but that God can't. Somebody said one time, said, I would believe Brother Branham's opinion rather than most people's revelation. Well, that's about true. But look, we'll close right here. I don't have time to get any further. But this is talking about you. It says, because the revelation of the Spirit is not there, the Word has not been quickened. Mechanics, dynamics. All right. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21 that we have become the righteousness of God by our union with Jesus Christ. Now, that's that center guy right there. That union is in that middle realm called the soul. Did you get it? It says that we are the very righteousness of God himself by being in Christ. It says that he, Jesus, became sin for us. It does not say he became sinful, but he became sin for us, that by our union with him, by what? By knowing him. Amen. By knowing him. The people that know their God will do exploit. Amen. If we accept the fact, and we must, that he literally became sin for us by his substitution for us, then we must also accept the fact that we, by our union with him, have become the very righteousness of God. Right. To reject one is to reject the other. To accept one is to accept the other. Which one do you want to accept tonight? Amen? You think about it. Now, we know the Bible says that. It can't be denied. But the revelation of it is missing. That's the prophet. It is not real to the majority. Look, it's not real to the majority of God's children. Not the devil's kids. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about a further walk with God. He's talking about, okay, you're born again. You're in the family of God. You're in the line of adoption. You're just not going anywhere. You're malnourished. You quit eating. You quit fellowshipping. You don't come to church. You don't read your Bible. You don't study. How you going to get something from God? Can't. It can't be denied. But the revelation of it is missing. It is not real to the majority of God's children. It is just a good verse in the Bible. Or a good quote. But we need to have it made alive to us. That will take revelation. What is a revelation? Somebody, you know, what's your idea of a revelation? To me, it's like that aha moment you have. You just didn't see something, and all of a sudden, whoa, ha ha! It was there all the time. You know, I love math, and man, I mean, there would be a piece left out or something, and you couldn't understand it. But once that piece of the puzzle, or once you got to your A's and B's and C's and I know, shake your head, it's okay. Boyd. Boyd's wanting to play an instrument. He says D and F and C. Oh, that's not it. When you get to A plus B and then all the squares, and somebody told me the other day what I was missing. Who was that told me that? Adam, was it you or Levi? When I was talking about a number that just kept repeating itself, that it never was, it didn't have a definition. It's pi. What is it? And it just keeps going. There's no end to it. Well, that's not God in that aspect. Because they're just using that as, you know, it fits, but it don't fit everything. So now that you're confused, we'll move right along. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a baby. Can't understand A plus B equals C. But once I got to that part of I told you many times what helped me was my baseball coach. He would give us the answer, and we had to back it into, we had to make, not the question, but we had to put all the numbers in to get to that. And that was hard. It's hard enough getting everything together and then getting the answer. But when he wrote the answer up on the board and you had to create the problem, that was a problem. That's why it was called that. But strong meat belongs to them that are of what? Of full age. Even those who, by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. To discern means to separate, make a distinction, discriminate, or to prefer. We are discerning right now. You're discerning. God's discerning your thoughts and intents. He's taking me down one road that you need, and he's taking me down another road somebody else needs. He's taking you to when the brother comes up here and preaches that you've never met before, and he preaches like you swear he was in your house last night. How'd you know that? Well, it wasn't him. It was the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Brother Branham had it in a great gift worldwide. We have it in little bitty gifts. Discernment has not left the church. But now that part of the discernment, one gift to one generation, Brother Brown said, when you can bring that person up here, discern it 100% and do it not two or three times, do it hundreds of thousands of times. See, now it happens hundreds of thousands of times all over the world. It's not in one person, it's all over the world, that discernment. And I wrote myself a note, teach us. Because watch this, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Magicians, get ready to come. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all, go ahead and actually come on. With all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will tell you to press play. When they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves, teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from what? The truth. And shall be turned into fables. 2 Peter 2:1. But there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and brought unto them swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways. Pernicious is the same word as perdition. Judas was the son of what? Perdition, confusion, destruction. All right? So it will follow in their destructive ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Wow. Be in the message and talk evil of the messenger. How in the world can you do that? Let's stand to our feet. Hebrews 5:11 says, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. That word dull is slothful, slow, sluggish, indolent, dull, and languid. It's just like, for when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. You know what the first principle of the oracle of God is? The Ten Commandments. That's what the Jews had. You know what Paul's saying? Paul's saying, please get up here in the New Testament. But it looks like all you need is, you need to be taught the simple things of the Ten Commandments first. That's a good place to start. But let's don't stay there. You do not have to tell anybody in this building, I hope not, that thou shalt not kill. Okay? Or commit adultery. Or all the other one of those commandments. We shouldn't have to preach about that all the time. But he said, Paul said, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Let me read this real quick. Having a form of godliness. So there's people going to have a form of godliness. But deny what? Deny what I was talking about. Not deny that there's a Bible. Not deny that there's a God. Not deny that there's a prophet. Not deny that there's a message. But you deny the power of it. You deny the power of it. From such, I'm gonna interject or interpolate. From such, run away. Not turn away, run away. It will do you no good. Look, for this sort are they which creep into houses, leading captive silly churches. Women of churches, right? Laden with sins, led away with many lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Last one. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised it. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. Not forsake. Who put that in there again? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as a manner of some is. But look, exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully. Now look. I'm going to say this one more time. If a preacher preaches something and it's the truth, and he preaches it and presents it to you in ABC, like this right here, you need to be in church every time the door is open. For if you sin willfully, after you have received that knowledge, there's no more sacrifice for your sins. I'm just reading you the Bible. We wonder why we're tossed about. It's because we don't do everything God says. Instead of Brother Dale preached matching pieces years ago, we got missing pieces. Me too. All of us. We got missing pieces. That's why he preached matching pieces, because when what matches down here matches up there, they're going to connect. Remember, vulcanized, but it can't be rubber and bricks. It's got to be rubber to rubber. Vulcanized together. Now remember this, Christ in the true church is a continuation of the book of Acts. But the book of Revelation shows how that the Antichrist spirit would come into the church. Look, defile it, make it lukewarm, formal, and powerless. That doesn't sound like the word I'm used to. It exposes Satan, revealing his work, the attempted destruction of God's people, and the discrediting of God's word. And let me interject something, and God's people, and God's prophet. Right down to the time he is cast in the lake of fire. He fights that. He cannot stand it. He knows that if the people get the true revelation of the true church and what she is and what she stands for, and that she can do the greater work, she will be an invincible army. If they get a true revelation, what? Of the two spirits within the framework of the Christian church. Not that church out there. This church right here. Within the framework of the Christian church, and by God's Spirit discern. By knowledge. That's why that knowledge is so down at the bottom here at the pyramid. We got to have that. We've got to have knowledge. And withstand the Antichrist spirit. Satan will be what? Say that with me. Powerless before her. One more time. Powerless before her. He will be as definitely thwarted today as when Christ withstood his every effort to gain power over him in the desert. Yes, Satan hates revelation, but we love it. With a true revelation in our lives, the gates of hell cannot prevail against us, but we will prevail over them. Let's sing a song. On to Jesus I surrender all. To him I freely give. And trust him in his presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. How many? Exactly. He's seen it in his own life. He's seen it with friends, Lord. Now I pray, Lord, this lady that's made a connection with our brother, Lord, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that whatever her need is, that when the prayer cloths are given to her, that it'll be just taken away, Lord. Doesn't matter what her condition is, Father. We pray that you bless Brother Danny, Lord, as a connection, that he'll be able to minister to her, Lord, and that we'll get a good report like we usually do. We ask in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. We get a good report. Yeah. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. Sing it to him. All to Jesus I surrender, Lord. I give my... have done to many, many people across the country, Lord. And even in our regular life, Lord, we've seen, Lord, these prayer cloths, that the devils have to flee away because of the power that's behind, Lord, not just the piece of cloth, but the prayers, Lord, of the saints, Father, that you will bless our brother, Lord, and may whatever they do, Lord, they don't find anything, Lord, and everything will be just fine, and we'll get a good report, Lord. It'll do it for your honor and glory, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's already done it. That's right. Now I feel the sacred flame. Oh, surrender all. Oh, I surrender.
to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
You know, we look at these prayer cloths, and it's not a hocus-pocus thing. It's real. Because we've seen it real. Witnessed a man years ago. You've heard Brother Dale tell about it, that deer hunted with us. Had prostate cancer, 4 months to live. Doctor told him to go hunt. It's all in your lymph nodes. You got 4 months to live. Go do what you want to do until you can't do it anymore. So I told Dad, I said, hey, Terry's in bad shape. He needs help. So Dad reached in his billfold. We always carry him either in our pocket or on Acts 19 in our Bible. So he just took the prayer cloth. He walked over to him and he said, Terry, he said, this is the prayer cloth that we prayed over. I said, you believe. Don't believe in the cloth. You believe in the prayer that was behind it. He handed it to him. Didn't pray. He hugged his neck. That was in March. We were on a wild boar hunt. Well, we were supposed to go back in November, or we did, go back in November for the deer season, for deer hunt. Well, now, that's more than 4 months away. Terry was never supposed to make it to that hunt. Dad let him go, and he looked at him, and he said, I'll see you in November. Columbia Hospital in Columbia, South Carolina, do not know what happened. We do. He lived 12 more years. Climbed, went hunting in Alaska for doll sheep. Now look that up on the internet. That's like 12,000 feet every day up and down. He was a dead man. Not to God he wasn't. Oh yeah, he finally died. So what? God gave him 12 more years. God gave him a chance to see the power of God. He brought us fowls. The next hunt. That hunt, next hunt in November. He brought us fowls. Where the doctor said, there's where it was, and there's where it's not. We don't know what it is. The doctor said, whatever you're doing, just keep doing it. Oh yeah, he took some hormone pills and he took some of this and that and the other, but 12 years. He could outwalk me. Went up to Alaska and went up, you know, 12,000 foot to hunt sheep. Killed one, drug it down, drug it all up another mountain. Looked pretty good for a dead man. But you know what? He just believed what a man told him. I believe when Dad turned and said, I'll see you in November, that struck something in his heart. He believed what that man said. And he not only saw him that November, but the next November, and the next November, and the next November, and the next November, and probably 8 or 10 more Novembers. We hunted with him for years. He was fine. That's what God will do for you. That's the power, not of that cloth, but the power behind it. Brother Danny's a witness. We've got many witnesses here. Come on. Yes, ma'am. Lord, because we feel it sometimes ourselves, Lord. But not a young child like this. She shouldn't have to feel pain, Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I pray, Lord, that you would just take this away from her right now, Lord. And let it be a witness, Lord, that you're with us, Father. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You just go and believe. Don't you worry about it no more, okay? Okay?
Love and power.
Listen, believe God. Believe what God's do for you.
I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I
surrender all. Remember Saturday, 3 o'clock, Brother Darrell Ward will be with us. Y'all all come expecting. We'll have the youth here with the service, and Sister Nyla will be giving her testimony. And then, Brother Darrell will be preaching for us a little bit after that. And then we'll have pizza afterwards. And then we'll have games and whatever they want to do after that. Have fellowship. And then we'll have one service on Sunday and with Brother Darrell and be able to fellowship with him some. We love him. He's one of the most humble men I've ever met in my life. He is just an humble, humble Christian man. So we appreciate him. We appreciate his stand for the Word of God. And we really, really appreciate all of you and what you do for this church. We do appreciate it. So let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this evening that you give us. Lord, truly, we see the church, and we see it cold, formal, and powerless. But Lord, you promised the spirit of wisdom to come back into the church. And beyond feelings and emotions, beyond petty ideas, beyond our imagination, Lord, let your soul that's inside of us, let it create in us a clean heart. Let it, Lord, go to that outer realm of spirit. And Lord, help us through this sin-cursed world. Lord Jesus, there's times that we feel like we're the only pebble on the beach, as the saying is. But we know one thing's for sure. You said you'd never leave us, and you would never forsake us. So, Father, we cling to that. We cling to this promise of the Word of God that we will make it. There is going to be a bride. There is going to be a body change. There is going to be a rapture. And there is going to be a future home, a millennium, all the different things. It's going to happen. And Lord, I pray that you hasten the day. We pray that you'd be with each one, Lord, until we come back on Saturday. Be with Brother Darrell, Lord, and bless him as he comes and ministers to the youth. And to even us young kids ourselves too, Lord. I pray that you'd be with us, Lord, in the furtherment of this weekend coming up. Just have your will and way and just be, Lord, among us. Take care of us, lead us, and guide us on the way home, Father. We ask these blessings in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You're dismissed. The joy of full salvation.